The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12 from the NRSV version. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests, scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
I loved my university experience, Rhodes University, and this was the early 90s. I really loved the experience of learning, and I really paid close attention to all that we were reading and all that we were hearing from the lecturers, and would on long runs kind of, you know, process what one was, and trying to connect the dots and just appreciate the meaning of it all. But there was a particular moment. I've called it my burning bush moment. It was a moment when all of the patterns, as it were, from the various sources, all of a sudden became clear. And it had all to do with, why did Jesus come? That was what it was about. Why did Jesus come? I was running up the stairs in the divinity department when all of a sudden it became clear for me why Jesus came. And it was a moment that changed my life. You know, when you've had incredible deep insight, when you've had a moment of seeing the light, life can't go back to how it was before that moment. You then have to, but you want to, live according to the new light that one has experienced and encountered, the new discovery, as it were. And it was the realization that Jesus' coming was all about bringing the reality of God into every dimension of life: political life, social life, economic life, spiritual life, relational life, ecological life, every dimension you could imagine. That's why he came, that we may know the reality of God in every dimension of our lives. And that, I've always referred it to the burning bush moment, but today's day, it was a moment of seeing the light. It was a moment of Epiphany. And today's being Epiphany Sunday is all about seeing Christ and the light that He is for the whole world. For the whole world. And in the passage itself, there are many moments of epiphany. And what I want to do in this message is show you what we are being shown in this passage. Show you what we are being shown in this passage. I invite you, firstly, to see something in this passage that you may never have seen before. It's always been there. Some of you would have seen this. But for many, in spite of the fact that it's so clear in the passage, we miss it. And that is that this passage is sabotage politics. There is sabotage politics going on here. I mean, it starts off in the time of King Herod. Wise men come from the east asking about the birth of a king of the Jews. I mean, there's a king of the Jews already. Why are you coming to look for another king of the Jews? And they want to pay that king homage. That sounds like sabotage. It's a passage filled with sabotage politics. These wise men coming from the east are coming from Parthia. They are Parthian magi, which were a very respected group of people known for their very accurate reading of signs. And they'd been a long experience in history of the accuracy of how they read things and how they also read what was going on amongst nations and so on. Parthia is modern-day Iran, Persia, Iran. That was the eastern frontier of the Roman Empire. And an enemy of the Roman Empire. So here you have the enemies of the Roman Empire coming into the Roman Empire, coming into a Roman chosen king to pay someone else homage, a new king born. That is sabotage politics. It gets with greater sting when you get to the part where the passage from the Old Testament that directs them to Bethlehem is highlighted. It's Micah chapter 5, verse 2, says, "In Bethlehem will be born a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Shepherd my people Israel. Now, the root word of shepherd and how we understand shepherd is it's someone who's feeding and caring for the sheep. Just those two words, feed and care, are the exact extreme opposite of King Herod, this King Herod. Exact extreme opposite. He didn't feed the people, he impoverished them. They went hungry in his 40-year reign. They went hungry through his taxation. He had big building projects and people had to give almost their last cent for his big building projects. They were heavily, heavily, heavily taxed by Herod. And many small landowners who used to be able to make enough for themselves, their extended family, and a little bit to sell, were not surviving. And if there was a year of bad rains, they would have to sell because they'd also go into debt. And then they would have to become laborers, hired hands. That's why Jesus often speaks about hired hands. Often on the farm they used to own. So people were going hungry. because of Herod, and he was extremely cruel and oppressive. But here these wise men are coming and saying, there's a king who will be a shepherd, who will feed and who will care. Somebody different from the current ruler. And then you read King Herod, and all of Jerusalem are frightened. Now, when you read that, don't think every single person in Jerusalem. It's the ruling elite of Jerusalem. It's like saying the president and the ruling party were frightened. That's the same thing. King Herod and all Jerusalem frightened. Because this is sabotage politics going on here. And then the beautiful ending kind of gives us the glimpse of how things can come right in the world through the king that's been born, Jesus. Because they bring gifts. The wealthy surrender their gifts to the kingdom of God. Because they come from wealth. They've got wealth. That's the kingdom. The wealthy are surrendering their gifts, making them at disposal of the kingdom of God. The contrast is Herod, who's extracting as much as he can from every single person, and for the sake of his politically connected elite friends who were buying up all this land that was being sold, and they were becoming just wealthier and wealthier. That's the one hand, and the story ends with the other. So I invite you to see the light, of God's way in this world. And to do whatever you can, and we're looking forward now in this year, do whatever you can to partner, to support those forces in society, those systems, those individuals in society, those leaders who will care for the small person, who will make sure everyone has enough. Do what you can. This is, of course, an election year for us. And I'm flagging that already because I think we're receiving a message here. Who do we support? And it's all about how are people treating the small person? Because in the kingdom, the small person is nurtured rather than oppressed, helped rather than hindered, uplifted rather than oppressed, at the center rather than on the edge getting scraps. The second piece of light that I'm wanting us to see, that this passage is showing us and I'm trying to show you, is this around crossing boundaries. You know, this passage is so cleverly written. The focus is on a new king of Israel, king of the Jews. But everyone who's seeing and coming to pay homage to this king of the Jews is not a Jew. And this is why in the West, this passage is the passage for Epiphany Sunday. Because the full title of today is Epiphany to the Gentiles. It's about the whole world seeing that in this king is hope for the whole world. And what's highlighted in the passage and in the background is that in the Jewish scriptures, there is the account that this is how it will be when the Messiah comes. That all nations will be blessed. All nations will be drawn to this light. Isaiah 60, the passage we started off with. Psalm 72 speaks of many kings coming and bringing their wealth and their gifts. And so friends, we're invited to see that anything that is of God, as revealed to us in Jesus and in our Christian scriptures. Anything that is of God is for the benefit of the whole world, not just for a select few. That's one of the big guiding star light moments about this passage, is that if it's of God, it's for the whole world. And as we stand here in the presence of this passage of Scripture, it kind of becomes clear for us, of course that's the way it is. If you're talking about God, who's the creator of all, then of course it's going to be good for the all in God's creation. So however you might understand phrases like chosen people, never let it be in a way that excludes others and isn't for the benefit of others. It's for the good of all. And then this passage is also making something clear, quite remarkable, and some of you might find this actually quite uncomfortable, but it's there. Not only is this for everyone, these wise men coming are from a different religion. I mean, a different religion is coming. They are Zoroastrian, which was a major religion in antiquity, not so much anymore. So this wide reach is quite incredible. This crossing of boundaries is remarkable. I've chosen for this picture a 15th century painting. I don't know how well you can see it, but I think you can see it well enough. And I chose it. It's the Gerard David. He's painted Jesus' arms reaching out and welcoming. So that's really important. This is a welcome to the whole world. And then notice behind in the right hand there, all the people, a whole multitude behind the three wise men, behind the Magi. And you can see if you look closely at the painting, some are poor, some are desperate, and they represent all the peoples of the world. Jesus is for all the people of the world. And in this is the righteousness of God. When we talk about God's righteousness, it's not so much a moral thing. It's much, much bigger. The righteousness of God is God's inclusive, generous love for all in the world. That is the righteousness of God. This is how God expresses God's righteousness. That it's generous love for all in the world, for the blessing of the world, for the healing of the world, for the care of the world, the feeding of the world, the upliftment of the world. It's for the peace of the whole world, the shalom of the whole world. No one is left out. With particular attention, of course, to those who are under the boot of the oppressor, who are the neglected, the suffering ones, and those who have suffered so much their spirit is broken. So friends, see the light. See the light. That's the invitation today. And whenever we think of the word God, it's got to always be about the widening of the circle if we are people of the light. And it's always got to be about the moving to the outsider with compassion. And it's always got to be about seeking the life, an abundant life, for all in the world. Now, this last part is so precious. And I think in many ways, for me personally, this is the part that really spoke most deeply to me. When I reflected on the reach of God's work as expressed in this passage. It starts off with a star that guides them. It starts off somewhere deep in the galaxy. A sun far away guiding them, because a star is a sun. And then in the passage, they are guided also by their dreams. After seeing Jesus, they are guided to go a different way home. Take a moment to appreciate that expanse. On the one hand, something quite literally, astronomically far away, God at work. And on the other hand, something within us, our dreams and God at work by God's Spirit within us. Isn't that amazing? And so I've called this move awareness because those wise men were aware. They were paying attention. Lots of people saw that star. Only those who were paying attention, reading the data carefully, were those who were led to see God at work. They were paying attention to their dreams. They didn't just wake up and say, "Oh, that was a bad night. I had a lot of strange dreams. Let's get on with the day." They were paying attention. How much do we pay attention? Because the reality is, when you've got this expanse from something astronomically far away and something within your own chest, your own mind, God is at work all the time. The fullness of God fills every moment of our lives. And how much are we noticing of it? How much are we paying attention? How aware are we? How awake are we? And therein is, as I said, for me, this was part of the greatest moment of journeying with this passage this week, was that Epiphany isn't just about seeing the light, but it's also about a new way of seeing, a new way of going into the year, with greater awareness, with greater paying attention. This speaks to a phrase that many of you have heard has become so precious for me. Sherry Kling, a contemporary theologian, talks about the whole-making nearness of God. We've even sung a song that she wrote about it. The whole-making nearness of God. For me, that's become a synonym for the Holy Spirit. The whole-making nearness of God. That is what you and I are swimming in. That's the reality of life. From intergalactically far away to inside of you and me is the whole-making nearness of God. And life is so different when one's paying attention to that. So I really pray, and have prayed, and pray now, and will pray again, that we have seen the light that this passage is trying to show us. That we've seen this light. And that we notice, as we seek to see the light, that it's not just about another good idea for us to think about a while, but it's something to participate in. Because the wise men followed. They traveled a huge distance. They went into enemy territory. It was sacrificial. It was costly. But it was the joy of participating in what God is doing. Amen.